John Crippen from the Hennepin History Museum is kind enough to join us today. And John, I'm going to let you go. You're not on with the Wisconsin people now. I don't have to have 2 weeks of angry Wisconsin calls anymore. So I'll let you. Yep. Anything you want to say about the Vikings or the Gophers at this point?
No, I'm back in safe confines and happy with my Minnesotans. So thank you for that.
Just tell me the Gophers aren't going to lose to Rutgers tomorrow. For goodness sakes.
Rutgers doesn't belong in the Big Ten, in my opinion. But, you know, the Big Ten, it's not the one we grew up with. So what do? Change happens, right?
Yeah, it does, and not much we can stop about that. I want to start with one history thing, which is, okay, I'm starting to get enough with the blizzard from 91, okay? Yeah. I get it. It happened. It was a moment. It was, you know, it does happen. It wasn't the biggest storm we ever got. I mean, we've had storms. I was reading about some storms in the 1880s, 1888, that were massive, where feet of snow fell and stuff. It crippled the city for weeks. You know, it's happened. Why do you think the Halloween blizzard of 91 historically has been such fodder for so many people?
That's an excellent question, because Minnesotans just, I mean, we love our weather. So why this one? I think certain storms, they get their mystique. Like before the Halloween blizzard, it was the Armistice Day blizzard before our time. It was like my dad remembers the Armistice Day blizzard. It was just awful. I think what really made this one stand out, for one, Halloween. So everybody was out and wanting to do trick-or-treating, and that didn't happen. And the fact that I think the day started something weird like 70 degrees, and then it was ice, and then it was snow. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. So it just took on a life of its own, obviously.
I would agree with you. I think there's an element of this, which is that there are people who enjoy the negative side of Minnesota weather. And so they, it can happen here, Halloween blizzard. They're the same people.
That's right.
The same people on the first day of spring will remind you of winter is only this many days away. And you're like, okay, just, you know, stop it. Well, you just, why? I don't get this fascination, but it is amazing how much it gets mentioned still today.
I know. And, I was talking to a joint friend of ours who's a native of New York, and he just can't stand it. He's lived in Minnesota for 20 years, and he says, I'm gonna kill myself if I hear another word about this blizzard. So I'm encouraging him to crack a crabby non-native Minnesota post that we might put on Facebook on Monday, just to, you know, have a new historical perspective.
Well, and you brought the Armistice Day blizzard. I mean, that actually killed a lot of people. Do I remember that correctly?
It really did, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying there weren't people that didn't die in the blizzard of 91, but I don't think it was anywhere near what we lost in the Armistice Day blizzard.
No, I don't remember what the death counts on either are, but you're right. Armistice Day was another one, caught people by surprise. Maybe that's a common theme. But also, what was that, in the 1940s?
Yeah.
Just a lot less ability to dig out and cope. I mean, people, it was a different time and probably harder to get around and that sort of thing.
Well, you just said it, and there's something about that, what you just said. My grandparents were on a lake when that storm came in, and they saw it on the other side of the lake, and my grandfather gunned the boat to the shoreline, got it on the nearest shoreline, flipped the boat over, they got underneath it and basically used that as a shelter. And that's how they got through it. And I think and maybe that's what you're looking at, is Armistice Day, the 91 blizzard, oh, it was an inconvenience, kids had a trick or treat, oh, this, like this, but it wasn't really scary. I don't think people want to remember the scary stuff in that way. It must really actually be that. It must be the fact that it was a big event, but not a lot of really bad happened. It just was much more of an inconvenience that started in October as opposed to usually later in the year, versus Armistice Day, where people still, you know, do the sign of the cross when they're talking about that one.
Yeah, right. It's the other thing, like I've talked about the element of surprise. What drives me a little nutty about weather these days is our models have gotten so much better now. We hear about the blizzards 5 days in advance, and most of them peter out before they get here, but which gives us something else to complain about.
Yeah.
But it like the element of surprise is really hard to recreate, even now compared to 1991. We're so much better. I remember taking a meteorology class in college, and my takeaway from that was the professor said, it's the reason we can't be that good about weather predictions is we don't have computer models big enough. We can't model the whole Earth. But actually, that was in the 80s. I'm aging myself. Think about how much more computing power we have since the late 80s.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they actually are getting pretty close to modeling the whole planet at this point.
Well, they're modeling like Venus They're modeling like Venus at this point.
Yeah, right. They're just getting that much smarter. There's that much more data that computers can crunch and say, all right, when this happens, we can play out all the scenarios and predict what's going to happen next.
You at the Hennepin History Museum have got some events coming up here tomorrow night and on Sunday night. I'm going to try to hit one of these. Murders and Monsters, the story of Harry Haywood and other Victorian stories at the Hennepin History Museum. I don't want to necessarily give away too much about this one, although, Harry Haywood, he was a bit of character.
I'll give you the nuts and bolts of the story because people have devoted years to studying this, so there's no giving away the lead. It's Harry Haywood was this charming man in 1890s Minneapolis. He became known as the Minneapolis Svengali because he allegedly had this power over people. He could make people do things for him. So he owned a building in downtown Minneapolis called Ozark Flats. It's still there today. And there was a young dressmaker named Catherine Ging who lived in that building. And she borrowed money from him. He made her take out life insurance policies with him as the beneficiary as collateral for the loan. And then he finally decided he wanted to cash in on those life insurance policies. So he got the maintenance man in Ozark Flats to take her out to then called Lake Calhoun and off her. He shot her in the head and dumped her out of the carriage.
Ah!
They pretty quickly found the trail back to Harry. So he was in jail for a year and then finally executed. But this mystique started building around him. How did he get the maintenance guy to do this for him? And a lot of it was just basic leverage, like, he threatened the maintenance guy, I'm going to kill your wife unless you kill this Kitty Ging for me. And so he was a real bad dude, but he had this charming exterior. Then what really, I think, set his place in the mystique in the minds of Minneapolitans, to some to this day, admittedly, those of us who are deep into the history, the day before his execution, he sat and gave a 10-hour confession and confessed to three more murders that he had done by his own hand and confessed to a whole host of crimes like arson and counterfeit and all sorts of nasty stuff. And part of the debate, and this is what makes historical topics, for one, I mean, lots of things get people going. True crime gets people going. Gore and what have you get people going. But when there's open questions about what was really going on here, there's been questions ever since, like, what was going on with that? Nobody's been able to prove his other murders. And so how much of it is, was he just a narcissist? We've kind of gotten to know the bad side of narcissism in the last 5 years. And so you can imagine, given the national nightmare we've been living through, you can imagine that this guy is probably lying all the time. So what's true? And you know that he's all about getting attention for himself. So it's a fascinating thing. So we're going to explore all that the next couple nights. Then the really cool thing is we've got Matt Kessen engaged, and he's a local guy. He goes by the name Reverend Matt, and he does monster talks. He's obsessed with monsters. And so he's going to talk to folks about Victorian-era monsters. And there's all sorts of cool parallels. We had a conversation with him as we were thinking about what to do for this Halloween, and so Victorian England and the Minneapolis Svengali, do they have anything really to do with each other? And the parallels just started tumbling out. Why were people so obsessed with this guy? One of the, Matt talked about, among other things, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and all of those Gothic novels in Victorian England. And the Minneapolis papers were playing up all that stuff. So they've got, there's this image of the Dr. Jekyll Harry and the Mr. Hyde Harry. And they're saying, we've got Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde here in Minneapolis. So Matt's going to tie this together and put it in kind of the bigger scheme worldwide from that era. So it should be pretty fun.
I don't want to share too much more of this, although, yeah, that, it's interesting. That's an interesting debate to have about Harry, that's for sure. And I know there's a few people on at the Hennepin History Museum who I didn't even know about this guy. They were like, oh, I know all about him. Like, yeah.
Okay. So, Matt, I think I might have buried the lead.
Go ahead.
We're a museum. Museums have cool stuff. So on display this weekend, Kitty Gings, the victim, she was an accomplished dressmaker. We've got one of her dresses.
Wow.
We've got the chair that Harry sat in for his confession. Some people call it the murder chair. We've got sections of the rope that hung him because in the ghoulish 19th century, they would hang a person, and if there was a famous person, they'd cut up pieces of rope and give them out as souvenirs to the people who came to watch the execution. So we've got that, and then we've got a deputy sheriff badge, and we've got the handcuffs that held him during trial. So there's cool stuff to come and gawk at.
All right. This is really cool. And if you've not been to the Hennepin History Museum, it is fantastic. It's right there next to the MIA on the Washburn Park there, right?
Yes.
Right across the street there. So what is if someone wants to do either the night, tomorrow night, the 29th from 7 to 9, or the 30th, Sunday night from 7 to 9, how do they do that?
They go to hennepinhistory.org/event. And we've got a steep ticket price on this because we're doing it as a fundraiser for the museum. So the ticketed price is $50. But for friends of Matt McNeil, we've got a special offer. And if you type in the code HALFOFFHALLOWEEN, you can get a $25 ticket for these events. So please, I encourage all of your listeners to come check us out and throw a few dollars at the museum to help us with our mission, and I think we'll show you a good time.
So when you get to check out, you got to go half off Halloween. Half off,
yep.
Halloween, and you'll cut the ticket price in half. And obviously you're going to have the experts talking about this stuff because this is cool. And this is, by the way, can I just say, ever since the Soap Factory closed, and they were doing that haunted house over there at the old Soap,
yeah,
Factory, which was fantastic. Ever since that closed, this is about the best sounding Halloween thing I've heard. This is fantastic. I'm glad you guys are embracing this holiday because we're not necessarily like London or anything like that. But, I mean, Minneapolis, Halloween's a fun holiday, and it seems – and it's not necessarily just in a, creepy ghost. Ooh, it's just – it's a fun thing. We've always seemed – everyone seems to always have fun at Halloween.
Yeah, it's a good time. So we're going to try to be tasteful about it. This is a ghoulish murder, and a poor woman was killed.
But we're going to look on the happy side of it. But we're going to look on the happy side of things.
But we're going to lean into the macabre because that's what Halloween's all about. It's kind of, scaring people about the chilling things people do to each other sometimes.
Yeah, and it's, for a lot of people, I think they wouldn't realize that there was this sensational murder that happened here. And sensational, not sensational, like nicely done, but sensationalized. Maybe I should go with that.
Yeah, totally. I mean, this was in the era of yellow journalism. They just went wild with this back in the
1890s. Oh, wow. And imagine, yeah, it's, and people were grabbing the papers just to read the latest updates. So, yeah, go find out all about it. The story of Harry Hayward, Other Victorian Horrors. This is, once again, tomorrow night, the 29th, 7 to 9, and then Sunday night, October 30th, 7 to 9. It's at the Hennepin History Museum, and if you use the code HALFOFFHALLOWEEN, you will be able to get a half-price ticket there and enjoy that. John, as always, a good time to chatting with you here. Thank you very much, and all my best with this. Like I said, I'm going to try to get out there either tomorrow or on Sunday night, okay?
Thank you so much, Matt. I hope to see you.
I look forward to seeing you as well. John Crippen from the Hennepin History Museum. Once again, tomorrow night and Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m., half off Halloween at the hennepinhistory.org website, and you get a half-price ticket. Go enjoy that. We'll come on back, wrap up the show for the week when we do return. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.